Space, the final frontier. But was it created in a Hollywood basement? I don't know, probably not. But there's a new really cool movie that's coming out, and it's really weird because that's what it's all about. Also, we have the sentencing of Hannah Gutierrez Reed on the set of Rust, sentenced today. We'll talk about that, and I'm glad that we have a real actor here to help us, comedian J. Darrell White, who's been on the set of many movies. I was just on the set of a TV series, and I actually got to do the gun briefing. So I think we might have a little bit of knowledge on this, and probably not enough, but we're going to give it our best go. Also, O.J. Simpson's last dying words. Did he mention Nicole at all? Probably not, but we're going to talk about it. All this and more on tonight's Failure to Stop's Monday Society and Culture News Breakdown, Uncuffed. Hit it, Joshua.
The growing calls across the nation to defund the police.
To end policing as we know it.
Off the charts violence in New York City. 11 people shot in just 8 hours on Sunday.
This is about the police officers who every single day put on that uniform and they run towards danger when we run away from it.
Wake up in the morning like fuck P. Diddy. Now we're just anti P. Diddy. Now that he got caught, we're anti P. Diddy.
But you know what, man?
Now that he got caught, we're anti-P. Diddy. You don't think that they didn't know P. Diddy was doing nefarious shit all the time? But now that he got caught, all of a sudden, we're like, fuck P. Diddy. But like, you don't think Kesha's been to one of those parties?
I mean, they did the same shit with R. Kelly. R. Kelly, but you know what? They still love his songs. They people out there still singing, I Believe I Can Fly and shit. Nobody ain't, they don't care. I'm, as long as it won't their kid, you know what I'm saying? And I'm still going to bump R. Kelly music. I don't care. I'm going to bump his music. Just like
Bill Cosby. R. Kelly's the one that pissed on the girl, right?
Yeah, he did some of everything. But the only thing, okay, yeah.
Wait, didn't he kill Aaliyah in that plane crash?
No, he ain't kill no Aaliyah. He was, you know, he had married Aaliyah and they had got it annulled and all that other stuff.
And then it was coming out that he married her at too young of an age and then her plane just crashed.
See, that's his thing. He liked young women. Is it fucked up? Yeah. I wouldn't.
You don't think he had anything to do with that plane crash?
No. He wouldn't want to kill Aaliyah. No. Why would he want to hurt her? No. Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, no.
But I'm just saying he did that shit. I mean, P. Diddy, man, he was close to a billionaire, man. When you get
I thought he was a billionaire.
Yeah, well, I think last time I looked, he was like right at $800 million.
Damn, that's how much Taylor Swift did last year.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
big, bro.
But see, my thing is, he is not a rapper. He produced. He basically owned the masters of all their music and stuff. He got big off of being Biggie. Craig Mack, a lot of those acts and stuff.
I mean, my first P. Diddy album that I ever listened to was Victory. Oh, I used to bump that, as you would say.
But he is
800 million. You're right.
Yeah, they would talk about him. They'd be like, you know, Suge Knight, Death Row Records would be like, if you want to, but don't want your producer to be all dancing in the background of your videos, come to Death Row. Damn Bad Boy Records, you know. And he was right, because that's what P. Diddy was doing. He was, while the artists out there doing it, he was in the background dancing, you know. But hey, it's his shit. So, I mean, look what, I mean, you know. Business-wise, it made him a lot of money. He had Ciroc. He had a clothing line. Now, all this stuff coming out, they snatching stuff left and right. He done sold, and I hate to say it, but I had one of my films played on his network, Revolt TV. Blue Crossing.
Yeah.
They picked it up. They picked up our film, and we licensed it to them for 3 years. And I mean, I ain't gonna lie, before all this came out, I was, you know, when I tell people, hey, check out Revolt, P. Diddy's Revolt Network, my film is up there. That was great.
Yeah.
P. Diddy saw your stuff? Yep, he saw it. That's what you want,
because
you're a big guy like that. But now with all this stuff come out, even though our 3-year license is over, and you know, you might go through the archives and find it on demand, you know, it's not a big thing for us, but to hear all this stuff come out, you're like, dang.
Damn, what's up?
You know what people ask me? Hey, you didn't go to
that
part. I'm like, hell no. We dealt with his people. I ain't deal with him directly.
You didn't get invited to a Diddy party, bro?
Hell nah. I ain't no rapper.
What do you think Kesha meant by wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy? Does he feel different in the morning? I don't know.
There's a lot of stories out there. A lot of, again, you look at all the guys that he, you know, I mean, their sexual lives is there. Everybody has a sexual life. If there's, you know, it's just the thing about it. If you using force or coercion, you know, you coerce to get do it, forcing somebody to do it for their gain.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Against their will, they normally wouldn't do it. If they're gone, if a record deal went on the tape,
yeah,
or this and that, and then he would be like, hey, go over there and kiss that bitch in the mouth, stuff like that, yeah. You know. And you normally, and say you're not gay, he'll have you go over there and kiss a man or go grab his butt or something like that, man. And you would go do it because you figure if you don't do it, you're gonna be out of his circle or trust or whatever, and not get that record deal and this and that. And
well, it seems like it's been like the trend in Hollywood. I mean, that's like with the whole Nickelodeon thing coming out. We got a lot of people though in the live chats tonight. David J, Jonathan Armory Knight. I think you got is this on Rumble? Are we streaming live on Rumble right now? I'm not sure, but I'll find out here shortly. Will Cray, David J, Jonathan, happy telecommunicators week. Dispatchers, have a week. I thought that was in June. That was a gay pride joke. Jonathan says we can be assured the moon landing was not fake, thanks to Soviet spy Robert Hansen, who did an amazing damage to our country on behalf of the Soviets. But in all his years of spying, 1976 to 2001, ever found any evidence that we faked it, which the Russians would have loved to have had. He's talking about in reference to the title of today's show. Oh, he keeps going. He says at one point the Russians knew the exact real-time location of all of our nuclear submarines, but they've never busted the myth of the moon landing. Come on, man. Actually, I got a buddy who's a submariner, and I said one of the scariest times when he was a submariner was they lose Russian submarines a lot, but they lost the Russian submarine like when it was extremely close to the United States, and they have no idea, like still to this day. I guess he says that they never really found it or what happened to it, but I guess he was trying to explain to me that they can use these like sonar things to trip something and then pass through it without passing through it type deal. I don't know, the submarine stuff's freaky. Like my brother-in-law was a submariner, retired submariner now, and he literally tells me like these crazy stories about submarines, like that's the end of the world or submarines. Like that's where it all starts, is those submarines.
Yeah, I couldn't. That's why Navy, there's no way. Dude. I figure if you go in the Navy is like the Army. Remember how the Army, if you was a career soldier in the Army, there's a possibility, highly, your ass was going to Korea.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I talked to another military influencer today who I'm not going to say his name because he didn't give me permission to use his name today, but you guys would definitely know him. Just saying it out there that you would know and trust him. And he said, dude, it's been really weird here on base lately. Like they're canceling stuff. They've got the threat assessments are like super through the roof high right now. They're canceling different training things, but they're not giving the troops any information. They're just like, we're changing all these policies and training changing this and changing that. And you might be going here, but you might be going there for duty tonight. But he's like, they're being like very vague. And he said, he just has this like very, like, and all the troops feel it too. Like everybody's just like in this weird, what's going on? Why won't you tell us what's going on? I also just had a buddy who retired today. He started his 4-month separation, so like he retires officially in 4 months, but today he's got like he's off to find another job. You know what I'm talking about, like that kind of like,
oh yeah,
period that they give you between retirement, just coming off of like a Secret Service detail. And we were just joking around on the phone, and he jokingly said, bro, I don't think there's gonna be an election. He's like, I've been up there for the last 2 years, and like nobody's even talking about an election. Like they're not even trying to campaign or do anything. It's like it's not even on their radar. And and I was like, really, dude? And he was like, I don't think there's gonna be an election, man. And this is like a guy who's like just retired 20 plus years from the military, pretty high ranking dude, not a red pilled, you know, tinfoil hat wearing guy. Mm-hmm. This is just like a dude that I was catching up. He does want to come on the podcast to talk about his time in DC, awkwardly enough. But yeah, he said like, bro, it's kind of been weird that he doesn't think that there's going to be an election.
Wow. Look, Trump has been visiting HBCUs trying to get the black vote.
Bro, he's got more black look, vote
here's the funny
than
thing.
Any but than he, any Republicans ever got.
He
right
went
now.
To I forgot where was that. I want to say
HBU
Atlanta.
Stand for again?
Historically Black University and College. And college and university, I'm sorry.
So it can't be a futuristic black college, it has to be historically.
Well, I mean, majority
kidding.
Of them are.
I'm just kidding.
You know, back in the day. But what I'm saying, he went there, he went to a restaurant. As a matter of fact, I think it was Chick-fil-A. He went to a Chick-fil-A in the Hood.
No, he went to a Popeyes. If he where else he fucked up?
No, because they would be like, oh, we want chicken, more chicken. But he ordered like 30 milkshakes and gave them out. He said, hey, 30 milkshakes for everybody and everything. And one black student, a female, was like, you know what? I don't care what the media say about you, President Trump. You my president.
Damn,
you vote, we're going to vote for you and blah, blah, blah. And I was, yep. That's
look
it.
At him, dude.
And I was like,
you know what's wow. funny, though? Oh, it is Chick-fil-A, too. Good for him. Good for him because, you know, that's God's chicken. But you know what's crazy, though? And I, like, this isn't, I'm, like, not trying to be biased here. Put that back up there for us. I like the mood that just set us, that the Trump picture with the woman. Yeah. It's an African, historically black African-American woman.
Yeah.
At Chick-fil-A. And anyway, he's hugging her for those of you who can't see this. But anyway, what I was going to say is Biden has tried this several times. Mm-hmm. And it's so cringe and it's so fake. Yeah. He's like holding up an ice cream cone to have somebody else lick it for him. You know, people are like, what are you doing? You know,
he licking his lips at the same
time. Yeah. It's like, it's so weird. You know? So it's like, it's so funny to see like Trump go into the black community and just do something like, you know, it just feels real. I don't know if it is or it's not, but like the optics are just different when Trump does it versus when Biden does it. And or like even when Kamala does something, it's just very, they make it very awkward, don't they?
I look at it like this. That's what he got to do. He need to go to the hood. He need to go and talk to people. As long as he can just keep away from not saying the N-word. I believe he'll have more African-American
votes.
Has
he ever said the N-word?
I don't recall him.
I don't
saying
think
that,
he said
you
the
know?
N-word.
I just...
I was at a UFC fight party. There was a black dude there. I mean, real black. Like purple. Yeah, dark.
Choco black.
Oh, so dark.
You walk right into him.
And he got drunk. Real drunk.
He started throwing out the N-word?
Oh, he used it all night. Anyway, just being... he was a funny character. Mm-hmm. And I told, like, he told me something. He said, he's like, you want to say the N-word, don't you, so bad? He's like, I can see it on your face. And I was like, what? And he was like, you look like the kind of guy that wants to say the N-word. And I was like, why would you say that? But you know what the crazy thing is like, I'm absolutely the guy that's always wanted to say it. And he's like, you have? And he's like, oh, man, I love it when I do. He's like, it's fun to say. It really is fun to say. And he's like, I'll give you a card. And I was like, dude, I'm not saying it. He's like, no. He's like, just say it. I'm going to let you say it. I was like, I'm not saying it.
See, and somebody like that, and you say he's dark skinned. If I was there and he got to saying that, I would have looked at him. I would have started cracking. I would have what we call joning. I would have joned on his black ass.
What does joning mean?
Joking, you know, like your mama jokes. Or
why would you joke on him?
Because he trying to get you to say nigga, mm-hmm. and he black as a damn spade. Mm-hmm. You know, want you to get you to say it. He finds it funny or whatever. Yeah. Knowing the history of that word, hell, if anything, he black as his ass is. He should not want nobody to say it.
Right,
you know
right.
I'm saying because. Somebody his complexion back historically in slavery, dark skinned blacks would work in the fields. If you was light skinned, you were in the house. You
oh,
was
I didn't know
the
that.
Maids and so the cooks.
You would have been in a house.
No, me. They probably would. As a kid, I've been running around in and out the house. You know, but if I stayed out in that sun and got one shade off, my ass would been out there in that damn cotton field. But yeah, I'll probably, you know, especially when I'm little, 4 or 5 years old, as long as I keep moving and shit and, you know, make sure I wash my ass, scrub, you know, don't stay in the sun. You know they didn't put on no suntan lotion back in the days.
That was great. The fight was great. That guy was great. I'm not gonna say his name on here again because I don't like to say people's names on my podcast unless they give you permission. Because then if I start going to parties and I start mentioning people, drop names, people like get weird about that. You know what I mean? Like they don't, I don't want to make it on your podcast. I've already heard that a couple of times at the gym that I go to. They're like, you're not gonna put this story on the podcast, are you? And I'm like, no, I'm not gonna put this story on the podcast. You're safe, okay? You're safe. Anyway, appreciate you guys being in the chat. Tonight's show is brought to you by GhostPed.com/Wolfpack. We've got FactorMeals.com/Wolfpack 50. And we got the Wellness Company, promo code Wolfpack. Tonight's show was the moon landing made in a Hollywood basement. It's the title of the show. And that's because there's a new movie coming out. And I think this is wild. We also have to talk about this whole Rust Armor Hannah Gutierrez thing. Do you want to hit that first, or do you want to hit this new movie first?
Let's do the new movie.
You want to do the new movie? Let me play the trailer. Josh, what's the rule on me playing a trailer on YouTube? Am I allowed to do it?
I think we should be all right, as long as just every 30 or 40 seconds.
Just interrupt it.
Make some commentary about it.
Okay, I'll interrupt it. And then you guys can give us 5-star ratings or review and be like, Teensy interrupts too much.
This program is a bloated mess.
Check this out. NASA needs a marketing specialist, and you are the very best.
Excuse me? What are you doing here?
I tracked you down because I felt we had a connection.
What?
I'm joking. I work here now to sell the moon.
Yeah, for those of you just watching, it's a moon landing, fake moon landing movie.
When I'm done, those men are going to be bigger than the Beatles.
Who is that?
It's a real movie.
He's got my name.
About a real fake, maybe fake thing.
So I had to hire new guys.
I'm here for the casting. Who's he?
You're a juicy part.
60 missions in Korea.
I flew 52 missions in Korea.
How's that?
What?
The whole world will be watching. We can't afford to lose to the Russians. We need to shoot the backup version of the moon landing.
You mean to fake it? No one can ever know what we're doing.
I cannot accept that.
They will be on
Apple TV Plus.
What is my budget?
Well. Oh, boy.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, but so we can go ahead and remove it. That was about Channing Tatum. It's got man, who else was in that? Give us the rundown of who's in that movie. Oh, when you get a chance, Tatum,
Scarlett Johansson, Woody Harrelson.
Oh, yeah, Woody Harrelson. I love Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, I like Woody. I like him.
He's really good. He's really good. Yeah, a lot of actors in there. Looks like it's going to be a really good movie, but like, is this like Hollywood? Like a lot of conspiracy theorists. And if you go down the Reddit rabbit hole in your police wagon, the Reddit rabbit hole is really funny on this one, because it's like, is Hollywood trying to set us up for some kind of like declassified documents that are coming out? Did some already come out and we just didn't read it good enough or what? But very strange movie right now, especially when TikTok and Twitter and all these things are like just super hyper focused on conspiracies right now.
I'll tell you another movie that I saw. I saw half of it because the theater, I'm not going to name Regal. I'm not going to say it real. You know, I'm not going to say their name, but they screwed me. You know, the ticket was wrong and I ended up going in and saw half of the movie called the, it was like a 2-hour movie and I caught 1 hour of it. And when it went off, I was like, what the hell? Did I miss something? That was short as hell. And then as we were walking out, the guy said, yeah, it started at 1:00. I said, oh, and I looked at my ticket and they gave me the 7:00 ticket that's supposed to be in the side. I was in the right theater
right at
the wrong time. I was like, I'll be damned. But Civil War.
Yeah. So you only saw an hour of it?
I saw an hour of it. And I was like, wow.
So yeah, we've got Civil War coming out, and then you've got this moon, or it just came out, and then you got this moon landing movie, which is called, what's the name of that movie again?
Fly Me to the Moon.
Fly Me to the Moon. Which by the way, which also makes me wonder, like I wondered, the old Red Hot Chili Pepper song, Space, the Final Frontier, was made in a Hollywood basement. I never knew, were they referring to Star Trek was made in a Hollywood basement, or are they trying to say that space and the moon landing was made in a Hollywood basement? Love to know what you guys think in the chats. Do you think, if you can help me on this one, what your opinion on it is, do you think the Red Hot Chili Peppers was, do you think they were in the song Space is the Final Frontier? Space, the Final Frontier was made in a Hollywood basement. What do you think? Some people think it was a Star Wars reference along with a Star Trek reference. I don't know. Guns and Cafe in the chat says that I need to watch Unthinkable with Samuel Jackson.
Oh, okay.
Is that an older movie or a new
I
movie?
I think it is.
Unthinkable. Let me put that up. Can you find that for us, Ted Leg? Unthinkable. Is that a new movie, an old movie?
Well, I don't know, because Samuel Jackson is a hardworking man. He just don't do A-list movies. He do B, C, D.
Oh, he'll do everything. He's like Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. He will.
What does that say?
Came out in 2010. Unthinkable was thriller directed by Gregor Jordan, starring Samuel Jackson.
I mean, I guess we'll watch it. But
what's crazy is, man, that Civil War movie.
Yeah.
Some people think that.
Don't spoil it for us.
I'll put it this way. Some people think if Trump get elected, we're going to have a Civil War.
And that's crazy because, like, do you remember when everybody was like, you know, when last election was, if Trump gets in, there will be World War III.
Right.
Biden gets in, and we're so close to World War III, I can taste the napalm. You know what I mean? Because they're going to bring back napalm for this world war. They have to bring back napalm.
I hope they don't call veterans back.
You're not going back. He said you have a degree now. You can be an officer.
Right. I'm going to be a general. Give me
Jonathan in the chat. He's passionate about this one. He says, some of us would have exposed the fake moon landing in the last 50 years. They always had better intel and counter intel. We had superior military power. I'll give you that. I will say that the KGB and all those guys and the Russians had a very superior intel spy network. Air Force received. So this is a new article that just came up from Deadleg. What tell us about it?
Air Force is bringing back retirees to active duty. Department of Defense has reached out to former members of the service to come back to service for some reason.
All right, we're going to jump into this next story before we do. May 2nd at Mulligan's with the Anti-Hero After Party for the Anti-Hero Podcast After Party for Street Cop Training Week. We will be there with Tyler, with Brent. We got a lot of special guests coming up there. Conservative Anthony will be there at Mulligan's with us. We will have... it's in Florida. It's in Orlando, though. And just outside Orlando on May 2nd. So should be a really fun after party. There's I think there's a couple of keynotes that will be at Street Cop Training that are going to venture over, and I'll get more to come on that. So if you guys are in the Orlando area, and of course that is sponsored by Ghost Bed Pillows and Ghost Bed Mattresses at ghostbed.com/Wolfpack. Sleep so good, it's scary. If I'm going to watch a movie, it's hard for me to go to theaters because I like to do it from my ghost bed, from the comfort of my ghost bed. And what I mean by that is that the ghost bed with the adjustable base, you can lean the adjustable base damn near into a couch, brother, and you can watch a movie like you're in a couch. It's insane. Right now, across the board, 50% off site-wide. They love first responders that much. These are beds made in the good old USA. 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 They got the cooling sheets, the cooling technology. Listen, I don't travel. I'm gone on the road for the next 4 months. Hopefully I think I'll be with the Tim Pool crew this weekend, but it's not for me. I'm not that cool. They invited my kids to come skateboard with them again. So last time I went, my kids skateboarded with Tim Pool. Do you know how many words Tim Pool said to me?
Zero.
Like three. Like, hey, how are you? Hey, how are you? Four words. I'm Tim Pool. I'm Tim. Nice to meet you. Maybe seven words total.
So he talked to your kids.
Yeah, I talked to my kid. They skateboarded with my kids.
He's a skateboarder, right?
Yeah, they were totally cool.
You don't skateboard.
Yeah.
It's just like R. Kelly talking to them young girls, and the parents was there.
He didn't give a shit about them parents. Like that.
He didn't care about them parents being there.
No.
His focus was on the girls.
No, just like skateboarding's different.
I'm just saying, you know, a lot of times, I mean, this is like I coach basketball, right? Youth basketball.
Yeah, you don't talk to the parents.
It's good about the parents, but I don't want to talk to the parents because the parents, to be honest, I don't even like them at the practice.
Right,
The fathers will come and be watching and want to try to tell you, no, your son is not LeBron James, okay? Yep. Your son is not Michael Jordan, okay? I'm trying to get him to have good skills, develop his own style of basketball and play. All them kid boys, they want to go out there, oh, LeBron. Right. Steph Curry for three and don't hit the backside of mom. You know? Damn. So yeah, you gonna get that.
Yeah.
Especially your kids. Y'all yeah. three of them, they real good.
I do. I'll so, we're meeting a photographer tomorrow yeah. early in the morning. Yeah, they, you know, and photographer was hitting me up. I'm like, oh, what's up, photographer? You want to take pictures of this good looking dude? He's like, your kid's available for photo shoot tomorrow. I'm like, motherfucker.
They just want your permission.
I know.
To use your kids.
Hey, they're phenomenal skateboarders. They're way cooler than I'll ever be. You can go follow them. Duke Tanzi, August Tanzi, Alec Tanzi fam. Go follow him on social media. But anyway, my son, you know what he asked for his birthday? My 11-year-old,
what's that?
A ghost bed pillow. He also asked if he could be sponsored by Ghost Bed, and I was like, okay. Bro, you have a lot of sponsors right now. Like Death Wish. I mean, not Death Wish. Liquid Death just sent them like 5 cases of water, like pallets of water, sparkling water and stuff. I know, right?
Gosh.
But they like my Ghost Bed so much, and he wants his own ghost. If Ghost Bed sends my child or my children ghost beds and pillows, I'll be so fucking mad. I'll be like, man, I'm gonna have to dumb these kids. I'm gonna have to beat them and like shame them and like give them like some kind of like weird anxieties to like bring them down a notch. As I don't want kids cooler than me. You know what I mean? Like my kids can be cool. They can't be cooler than me. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, so this week we'll be there. So I'm taking my ghost bed pillow with me. And then following weekend I'll be in Florida and I gotta take mine. And then I'll be with Jonathan Emord in their Senate campaign in Virginia, doing some stuff with them in Virginia Beach the following week. And so I'll have my ghost bed with them. And then I'm supposed to have another thing on the books with Anthony. So for me, it's the ghost bed and the ghost bed pillow is a must. Like if you get the ghost bed, don't not get the ghost bed pillow. It's foolish. It's like you have the cool side of the pillow all the time.
So pillows don't come with the bed if you get the whole bed.
They probably throw them in, I'm sure. There's all sorts of bundles. You can bundle it up. 0% down, 0% financing.
Big one long ass pillow.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. And they make these silky ones that are like for girls with curly hair. They've thought of it all. So head over to ghostbed.com/.
Jerry Curl won't sink.
No, it's good. Yeah. No, it's all good for the Jerry Curls.
I have family that have Jerry Curls.
Do you really?
I have a couple of aunts that have Jerry Curls. They wet too. Them wet things. You hug them, you got to do your jaw like that because they done hugged you and got.
Yeah. Also, doing an open mat roll for Redefy Foundation. We're collecting money for that. If you want to, any super chat from now until the end of May when this event occurs, it's an open mat for the Redefy Foundation. They give scholarships to wounded and disabled veterans for jujitsu. They pay for their jujitsu. They pay for all their gear for jujitsu. If you super chat and you put Redefy in the super chat, right? So far, we have raised almost $150. We got, $70 from Nijkin, $20 from Mur530, 20 more bones from Will Cray, $30 from Billy Unite. I know, maybe I spelled his name wrong. So we are getting a whole bunch of stuff. I sent the first check in today from all the stuff we have. It was just over $120-something. So if you guys get to 1,000 with the Wolfpack by the end of May, I think it's May 27th or something like that, and we are not at $85. There was a couple more people that added on. So it was 120 is what I sent in today from the account. If the Wolfpack gets me to 1,000, so for every $20, I am going to spar jujitsu for 1 minute without a break. So right now I'm at I think 8 minutes total. If we get to $1,000, which is like 50 minutes or something like that, it's 50 minutes of continuous sparring in a Hulk Hogan yellow Speedo. In a Hulk Hogan style Speedo, I will be doing these roles. So, oh my God, Mario Lopez coming. Mario Lopez! Did Mario Lopez just get his purple belt? Actually, Mario, did you just... I know you were a blue belt. Did you just get your purple belt, Mario? Mario Lopez?
Is that Mario from Saved by the Bell?
I mean, maybe. It says Mario Lopez. It's the only Mario Lopez I know that has $100. So, and he it does jujitsu.
Mario Lopez.
It's the Mario Lopez.
It is.
It's the Mario Lopez from the Failure to Stop chat group.
Oh, okay. I mean, we're about saying
who's
to
know? We don't know. There's no picture there. It could be the real Mario. Just go with it. It's the real Mario Lopez. It is a real Mario Lopez. $100. Thank you. And let me add that. Let me write it down. If I don't write it down, I will get confused. Mario Lopez down for a hundo. So we'll put another 100 in there. That is awesome. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. So one step closer, a quarter of the way there to rolling 50 minutes straight. Well, 100, that's 2, 4, 6, 8. That's 5 more minutes on top. So now we're at 11 minutes of continuous sparring. I'm going to get choked so many fucking times. And then you guys can go over under on how many times I get choked in 50 minutes. And there will be some big hitter jujitsu guys there. So anyway, yeah, we'll go back to this
girl. Huh? They're going to have you with a girl.
No. It'll be a round robin. So I will roll with somebody until they choke me out or tap me out or I tap them out. And then another person jumps in. So it won't be the same person. They'll be fresh. I'll be just getting more and more tired. So I either have to get a tap really quick or like let them tap me, which is going to suck. So I'm going to have to pace myself and find some good rolls, some fun rolls. We'll see what happens.
How old are you?
And I'll be the only guy there. I am a 1-stripe white belt.
That's one rank above white belt?
Well, probably like, so at our gym, like you first get like a blue stripe, which means you can roll with other people. So you have to do like a certain amount of classes or wait until you prove to the coach.
This is not Taekwondo, right?
No. This is like jujitsu sparring. This is like wrestling with like some crazier stuff, like MMA style wrestling stuff. And then you can get a red stripe, which means you can stand up and spar. And then you get your white stripe, which is just like your white stripe, white belt, officially kind of like a white belt. I probably won't get another belt for like a couple of years.
Let me ask you this. Because you learn how to strike as well?
No, they do. If you want to stay for kickboxing and Muay Thai, yeah, you do a lot of striking in Muay Thai. But right now it's all about the ground game. Oh. Yeah. Those are for kids. Those are the belts for kids.
Because I was going to ask you, what would you find more gratifying?
Okay.
Choking somebody out or knocking them out.
Can choke them out or you can tap them out. You can do like wrist locks. You can do foot locks. You can do Kimuras. You can do Americanas. You can, you know, get shoulder taps, knees. Like there's a lot of different taps besides just choking. Matter of fact, a lot of the cops that train BJJ will only go for like wrist locks, ankle locks, leg locks and things like that because they're not allowed to choke in real life and they don't want to get used to, right, to choking. I think what would be more gratifying, I'll tell you this. I don't know, man, because I've knocked some people out as a cop. I remember the first person that I ever knocked out as a cop and he hit the ground and then woke up violently convulsing and throwing up and he had to go to the hospital and he had a pretty significant concussion. That felt really fucking good. And then when I punched Eric in the face, this other guy, this was really bad and it split his eye and he had to get stitches and I went to the hospital with him to get stitches. That felt really, really good. But in jujitsu, whenever you sink in like a good rear naked choke or I heel hook somebody for the first time the other day and it feels pretty fucking good, especially because I did jujitsu 4 to 5 days a week for 4 months and didn't get one person to tap.
Damn.
4 days a week, 5 days a week sometimes for 4 months and not one person that I could get to tap. And I got tapped thousands of times in 4 months. So
yeah, I basically choked out a kid. He was 20 years old, but he's still a kid to me. But hell, he had a gun. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. And of course, I ain't had no...
That was when you were a cop.
I had no MMA training. You know, we didn't do that. I just watched YouTube.
Yeah,
and watch John Jones. They said John Jones, that's how he learned how to fight or what got him interested.
Just picking randos off the street?
Yeah. And I was like, damn. But it's
I'm telling you right now, like I'm so bad at jujitsu. And the last thing I'm thinking about is trying to pick somebody off the street and fuck with them. Because I'm like, there's a solid chance I could fucking lose this fight.
You don't know that story.
But it's going to be a fun event. We Defy is great. Hey, will you jump up and shut that door since that cricket?
Yeah,
it's just being loud as mother. We had the doors open in the studio tonight because it feels nice outside. Anyway, thank you guys so much for donating. That's going to be really nice. Let's drop into the Rust Armor sentence. This is a fun story. You guys are going to like this story. Hannah Gutierrez Reed. And I know that a lot of you guys have been following this story, especially since we've talked about it several times on this show. This is wild. So we remember when Alec Baldwin shot that female on the set. It was really sad. Now, you've been on a bunch of sets with guns. Mm-hmm. I was just on a set a few months ago with guns. I actually had to give the safety briefing because I was a law enforcement officer and there was a whole bunch of celebrity influencers What does that mean? Influencers that had 100K plus followers on social media. And because I had this fake Glock, I had to explain how a Glock worked to the whole, I mean, dude, the whole crew, cameramen, food people, you don't understand, like these sets are massive. There are tons of people, makeup people, food people, people to help you with your script, people to help you with your clothes. I mean, there's a person for about everything on one of these sets. And I didn't know that I was going to have to do this. And I show up and I'm freaking out because it's the first time I've ever been like on a real set for a real like TV series. It's going to go on Hulu and I think maybe like Netflix or something like that. It's going to go on a bunch of places, but it comes out this summer. It's called Office Joe. Look it up. Office Joe show. I play the cop in episode 6 and 7. And it's a comedy and I had a pretty funny part. So I was pretty excited. So I was stressed out because I wanted to memorize my lines and I didn't want to fuck up. Right. And then when I got there and I saw like Jared Taylor was there, Amanda Torrey Funday, who's blowing up right now. I'm a big fan of him. He was there. The Olympic medalist wrestler was there. I mean, there was a bunch of dudes. Tim Kennedy wasn't there, but he was just in the scene that I was supposed to be a part of. So that was kind of, yeah, you can put those pictures up. That's fine. Yeah. That's why I say is Tim Kennedy was in this film. I didn't get to meet him that day, but there was a bunch of people on the set there. There's Mandatory Funday and Jared Taylor from Black Rifle. Yeah, there's a bunch of other guys that you might recognize. They're all influencers of some sort in the social media realm. So I didn't want to be a loser and screw it up. And then all of a sudden they're like, all right, this is Eric Tanzi. And then the guy whispers over me. Yeah. Guttermuth is in there too. Yeah. Ashley Guttermuth. She's hilarious, by the way. They leaned over and they were like, look, dude, just give a briefing and let everybody know that, these guns aren't real. And I was like, okay. And he was like, just go through it. Like a standard cop briefing, like you would do at your police department. And I was like, we don't do that
right
at the police department. Like my gun's real all the fucking time, right? Like I don't give briefings,
locked
in, but like they were just like, just like if you were going into a school or something. I'm like, no, bitch, like I don't say shit when I go anywhere with my gun,
right?
So I was like, I didn't want to be like confrontational about it, so I was just like, hey guys, this is a Glock. I don't even know what kind of Glock it is because it's not a real Glock. So looks like a replica of a Glock 22, but I don't know. Who's to tell?
Treat all guns.
It doesn't have a magazine, mm-hmm. So I can't pull the magazine out to show you that it's empty because this one doesn't exist. It does have a racking slide, but there's no like hollow barrel. There's some kind of a core to it's not a real gun. Right. I can't shoot from it. There's nowhere to put bullets. So does anybody have any questions? And then like this one girl was like, can you just pull the trigger for us to make sure? And so I put the gun in my mouth and pulled the trigger.
You should aim it at her.
Stuck it in my mouth and went all day. And everybody was like, and then bro, I'm pretty sure that they were like not happy about it, but like, what were they going to say? Right. You know, it's like, I already did it, but yeah, I shoved this fake fucking pistol in my mouth.
Don't be like that one dude. What was he? I think he was SBI or FBI, black dude with dreads. He was in a classroom teaching people, kids.
Yeah.
Boom, boom. Wow. Shot himself. I'm all right.
No, I knew for a fact this was not a real gun. Like, there was no doubt in my mind that this was no real gun. So anyway, my question is, and I think everybody's question is when you get on the set. Now, I think the girl that they did. Yeah, here's the video. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see the video. Oh, God. You can leave it up while I talk. No problem. So, and that guy doesn't even look like a real cop. That's all right. Like, it's so strange. So, she was like not a trained armorer. She just got designated the armorer on this set. So it seems, and I could be wrong on this. I can only go off of like what she was crying about and how she was talking about. Like, she doesn't have any, shot himself. Yeah, she doesn't have any experience, a lot of experience. She only was acting on the experience I have. And so that makes me lead to believe that like, maybe on set they just said, hey, you're the armor.
Right.
Make sure these guns aren't real. Was that like that on your set, or did you have like a real legit armor?
No, it was me. I mean, every movie, you know, we had the guns, they knew I was
you know, police officer, military. And they said, oh.
Right, but if you didn't have a real policeman or not, military guy.
That was it. That was me.
No, but I'm saying if this set didn't have one, if they didn't have a you, who would they get?
Somebody who would, well, it's about liability. So they would have to have somebody.
So you, how did this girl become the armor with no armor or training?
She must knew. She talked a good
talked a good game.
Yeah, she did a good.
Well, you know, it doesn't matter. She got sentenced to 18 months in prison for involuntary manslaughter. You can put this up on the screen. And it's, I thought that was a little rough for an accident, but then I saw her jail calls. Oh my gosh. Her jail calls are what fucked her. How do you not know that your jail calls aren't recorded?
Been to jail before.
Yeah, and the jury did it in less than 2 hours. One juror after the sentencing said Gutierrez had not done her job to ensure the weapons were safe on set. Gutierrez Reed opted to make a statement before court saying her heart aches for the Hutchins family, friends, and the film industry at large. The armor requested the judge sentence her to probation, noting she would accept any classes she ordered. I am saddened by the way the media sensationalized our traumatic tragedy and portrayed me as a complete monster, which has actually been the total opposite of what's in my heart, she said. And I went for this because I watched her cry on the stand and I felt really, really bad for her. And then I went and saw the tapes. So the jail tapes, bro, she calls the judge a fucking idiot. She called the jury retards and assholes. And they played this. Well, in front of all of them.
They got to say she upset.
No, this was before. This was before she got sentenced. Oh, wow. This is like days before. And she was talking all sorts of shit and laughing and joking on the phone. We were going to try to play it for you, but we couldn't find one on YouTube that didn't have all the interruptions. So maybe we'll just bang a reel out with some of the clips later.
Karma. That's what she did, you know?
Right? I was going to try to see...
So Alex Baldwin, what you think? I mean, he the one that pulled the trigger. They're gonna, all of them could get sued. If I'm the family,
well, he's
coming up next.
Alex Baldwin's up next.
Yeah,
so he's got to be shitting his pants. He's like, man, this is not.
She the one that didn't make the gun safe.
Yeah, I'm gonna pull the trigger.
Hell, how much time they gonna get me for pulling the trigger? Yeah,
yeah.
I have a clue on how she got the job with quote.
Go ahead. Yeah, let's hear it.
Oh yeah, they gonna sue whoever.
Because her dad has been in the film industry most of his adult life as a sharpshooter and film consultant for firearms.
Oh, so she kind of was a subject matter expert through daddy.
And then threw his name around. Oh, my father, I learned from the best. My father, growing up, I learned blah blah blah. That's what got her the job.
Yeah,
without proper credentials and everything. Right. And you see what happened. I bet dad was like, I ain't teach her shit. I don't know what the fuck. She got this. Don't y'all come at me.
Yeah, so here we go. Listen to this. And this is from USA Today. In response to her request for a new trial, state prosecutor Carrie Morsi asked that she be sentenced to a maximum sentence of 18 months due to the lack of remorse, citing the phone calls that she made from jail in which she said the jury were a bunch of idiots and the judge was paid off. You can't say that shit before sentencing. Bowles said Gutierrez Reed was the scapegoat for a chaotic production, which... I think more than her should be in trouble for this. Like it does to me appear that she is a scapegoat for a chaotic production where she was not given time to check weapons. I don't think that is ever an excuse. He blamed Hutchins' death on Baldwin's reckless use of firearms and his efforts to rush and control filming as lead actor, writer. But I can kind of buy all that. But at the end of the day, if you take up the job armor, that's like really that's your only job is to make sure that there aren't any real bullets or that any of these guns have real bullets in them.
You should be standing right there at every scene that has weapons. You should be there. Even when they say, cut. All right, we're going to take a 15-minute break. I need to collect all y'all weapons. All y'all weapons need to come and put them right here. Y'all go eat your sandwich, your cheese sandwich, smoke your cigarettes, whatever. And when you come back, we're going to wrap, you know, get them safe, get them set ready.
So on the set I was on, whenever we did breaks or whatever, I kept the gun on me the whole time. Unless I was not going back to the green room or whatever you call it. If I was going anywhere else, I had to like not be dressed like a cop because I was dressed like a fake cop, you know. But if I was just going and I had somebody escort me to and from my scenes. So if they escorted me back, I kept the gun on me. But as soon as I got back to the scene, I had to do the same thing over. I had to pull the gun out. I had to show everybody that there was no magazine. I had to rack it back, show everybody. You know what I mean? I had to go through the whole rigmarole again, but without putting it in my mouth to pull the trigger. And then I would pull the trigger and go on. So it all worked out for me. I don't know. What do you guys think? 18 months. Is it? She's getting the whole sentence. 18 months. She's staying in. She's going to be incarcerated in a women's prison for 18 months. Look, if you can, if I could show it to you now, I would go back and try to find those manuscripts. If you're poured on duty, they are pretty damning. She talks about jail is kind of like a day camp, that it's way easier than she shot it, thought it would be. She's doing a lot of laughing, a lot of giggling. I don't really have a problem with that. You got to keep yourself in high spirits, especially if you're incarcerated. I get it. But knowing that these jail tapes could be played, calling the jury a bunch of idiots and fucking retards. Oh, man. I mean, I wouldn't say that even if I knew their phone call wasn't recorded. Just knowing the fact that there's so many people around, and this is so like sensationalized by the media already, I wouldn't want to call the jurors a fucking retard in fear that another inmate might make a backdoor deal with like E! Entertainment, or you know what I mean? Like phone a friend and be like, hey, this bitch on the phone was calling the jury fucking retards. I mean, any chance that that could get out and hurt me?
You know what? I know we're going to talk about it in a minute, but I'm surprised that, you know, we're going to talk about OJ and all that, but I'm surprised that didn't happen to him while he was locked up on the other side.
Right, bad jail calls. Well, I mean,
I know that another inmate tried to get information out of him as far as the Nicole.
I bet you his lawyer coached him up real good. Right before we dive into that, because we got to get into this OJ Simpson thing, which is the big news for the night. Factormeals.com, meal planning to the next level. Listen, don't get caught hungry at work at your first responder gigs over there. Don't be a peasant either. Don't be eating your bologna sandwiches and coming in with your fatty fast foods, especially if you're an overweight cop. Look, man, listen, it's not the time to be an overweight cop. Violence on police is way up. You need to be getting in shape, cutting it down, and be part of the solution and not part of the problem. Don't be a victim. We don't need to be carrying fat cops out of the way because they couldn't get shit done. Listen, I get it. I was law enforcement. I've been fat as well. It gets away from you. It gets away from you quick. All I'm telling you is don't give up. Get in shape, get it right, get it done. And look, you know, when you show up with a Factor meal and it's healthy, you can get the calorie conscious, you can get the protein heavy if you're trying to get jacked, you can get the breakfast. All these things are chef prepared, fresh and never frozen meals, delivered directly to you on your doorstep. You can get the shakes, you can get the smoothies. Anything that you want to get your day cooking, by the time you go to the grocery store, by the time you come home, you cook all the individual meals, you parcel it all out in your little Playtex and your Pyrex dishes, you're already losing money. With Factor Meals, you buy it, it gets delivered to your house, 2 minutes in a microwave. You don't have to do anything about it. Spend that time with your family, spend it court prepping, do whatever. And the meals are absolutely fantastic. Matter of fact, there's a bunch of you guys that love to send me pictures of your Factor Meals. I love that. I'm going to start posting them up on our Failure to Stop Instagram channel, maybe our Facebook. I'll do like a little collage of them. A bunch of you guys have sent me those, and I really do appreciate them. And you always tell me how good they are. Nobody's ever complained. Somebody did say that the green beans were smoky, but I don't know if that was negative. He said the green beans are really smoky. He didn't say I like it or dislike it. That's all he said. So I don't know. I've never had any of the green beans that I didn't like. Matter of fact, there was one. I think it was in the ranch chicken meal, but it was like had like this garlic butter over it. It was delicious. Loved it. But I guess you probably don't eat green beans with garlic butter, do you?
Say what?
Yeah, I didn't think so. yeah, there, roasted garlic chicken. That's probably the one. Anyway, delicious. I love it.
You know what? To be honest, I just started eating my green beans like that.
Oh, really?
Because normally, I mean, they cook them and then season them with a ham hock or a turkey neck, and they be good. But though, I guess they call those fresh. They like fresh, and they put a little oil and a little whatever.
Yeah,
they don't cook them that long.
Butter, yeah.
And I like them. Yeah, I like them now.
I like them. You still liking your Factor Meals?
I had to put them on pause for a minute because they was.
Well, your whole family was eating them though.
Yeah, they was.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I can't do that. Yeah, like I know. I remember when you were complaining, like you don't get any to yourself, and like right. I mean, it's not
good ones.
You know, it's like it's good when you're ordering it just for yourself for your own meal, but like when you're ordering one Factor Meal for like every person in your household, that's out of control. I wouldn't do it either. And then we have the wellness company, prepping you for the next pandemic. Be a plandemic guy. Be a planner. Go ahead and go to the wellness company. This is all the famous doctors you know of, McCullough, Dr. Drew, all the guys that's been on the Joe Rogan podcast. These are meds that, you know, your ivermectins, your Z-Packs, your monochloral things, all the things that are pre-prescribed to you to keep you well and through anything. Because you know that the zombies are going to hit the CVS and the Walgreens and everything. That's the first thing that's going to happen in a pandemic. They're going to go after those places and you're probably going to get stabbed or shot in the process. So go ahead and get ahead of that. Go to the wellness company, pre-prescribe you all your pandemic medicines, and they'll deliver them right to your door. You don't have to go out. They come in these like survival cases that zip up. They're really, really, really cool. I need to bring one of mine out here to the studio and show you guys. The bags are really, really cool. We'll show you the bags on Wednesday for the last call show. But anyway, yeah, go over to the wellness company, promo code Wolfpack, and the factormeals.com/Wolfpack50. All right, last story of the night. Here we come. O.J. Simpson on his deathbed. Did he admit? There's a lot of conspiracy out there. Well, he made his kids sign an NDA, this and that. Listen, all the media headlines, everybody's saying there was no confession. He mostly talked about golf tournaments and wanting more water. It's pretty dark. I don't have any remorse. I don't feel sorry for O.J. Simpson, so I don't really give a fuck about him wanting water or to watch the golf tournament. But let me ask you this, and people in the chats weigh in. I want to hear from you guys, too, on this one. If your dad did that, committed that murder, you know, we all know that O.J. did it.
How do you know he did it? The justice system that you so much support.
I don't support the justice system.
It failed you and people who wanted to see him guilty. It failed you because he was found not guilty.
But he was guilty.
How?
The evidence is overwhelming.
It's going to be overwhelming, but his ass get off.
Have you not watched the documentaries?
Tell me.
I'll tell you. The cops didn't handle the evidence correctly, and it got thrown out because he had a really good lawyer.
Whose fault is that? Is it his fault?
I mean,
I think it's his team's fault.
I think his lawyer's team's fault, sure, but he was civilly guilty. He lost the civil suit.
That's one thing I don't understand. I need somebody to tell me how, if you are found not guilty in a criminal suit, that them same people
survivors
come back and sue you civilly. I never understood that.
Well, because the preponderance of evidence is different in a civil case than it is in a case when you go to jail. I think, what is it for a civil case? It's 51% chance that he's guilty.
To me, that's just...
So here you go. How about this? I arrested a guy for DUI. Mm-hmm. I knew he was 100% hammered drunk. Mm-hmm. I saw he's hammered drunk. I took him to the hospital because he was hammered drunk. Mm-hmm. He was actually more than hammered drunk. He was on PCP. And he had the keys in the car. The car was driving. It was still in drive when I yanked him out. I had to have another officer grab him, yank him back. And I had to jump in the passenger side, scramble all the way in to try to get to the brake so that I could put the car into park with my hand. Very scary moment for all of us. Good thing this guy was pretty much comatose because of how much alcohol he had. Now, the court case went that... He was not the toxicologist whom we paid $5,000 to, you know, for the court to provide a toxicologist and to explain to the jury, or not the jury, to the judge, because it wasn't a jury trial, it's just a DUI, about toxicology. He said that had we had not got him an ambulance, had I not called an ambulance before we even, now I called an ambulance because I was like, if this doesn't work, I'm probably going for a ride and there's going to be an accident at the end of it. I want to have an ambulance like on its way. Okay. they said, had we not done that, he would have died from an overdose because he had enough shit in his system to kill him or whatever. Yes. The toxicologist, the defendant's attorney said, was he in control of his body at that time that Mr. Tansy, would he have had enough drugs in his system that he would have been in control of his body at all? And he said, no, absolutely not. Like, this man was dying. He's like, let me read you like what an overdose normally looks like. And this was like higher than a normal overdose. Like, this dude was dying from all this shit. They closed the statement to the judge. His name was Judge Nagel. He said, Judge, Your Honor, you heard the toxicologist, your expert, claim that he was not in control of himself. So how could he be in control of a motor vehicle if he wasn't in control of himself? The judge said, you're right. If he was not in control of himself, he could not be in control of a motor vehicle. Even though he was in the seat, the car was running, the car was in drive, and I pulled him over from watching him have a seizure, parked over, you know, he pulled off the road and was convulsing in the whole nine yards. So they gave him not guilty. Now, was that man guilty? 100%. He got in a car, he did drugs, and he drove around, and he pulled over, luckily, and had a seizure. So he is guilty, but he was found not guilty. But that doesn't mean that he's not guilty. That motherfucker did it. Now, if he would have killed somebody in the same thing, it would not take away that he didn't kill that person. I don't care what the court said, guilty or not guilty.
So let me ask this. He supposedly killed two people.
Yeah.
Right? Man and woman.
Yeah.
Out in the what?
No, it's not supposedly. He killed them.
Motherfucker found. They
found the knife. You know, they found the knife with all this DNA in it just because they couldn't use the knife as evidence. It was one thing that wasn't allowed to use. But like,
what about the
those gloves fit him? And if you notice, there is a picture. There is a
quit.
Well, the does fit, but you know for a fact that you can put your hands into something and make it not fit.
Come on, man. I do my dick like that with a condom all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. You know that you're fluffing that thing up. All I'm saying is, you know, he's guilty. Now, let me ask this. And if you don't know and you're one of his children and you think he might be innocent, I guess that changes the outcome. But I'm pretty sure that we all know. And especially if, I mean, unless you're just living in denial, he fucking killed them.
Let's see.
Would you, if you were dad in that situation, killed two people like that, and he wanted you there for his end of days, and he wanted you to sign an NDA before you could come in the room, would you do it?
Hell no, because he dying.
Yeah.
He going to be gone. So, no, I wouldn't sign shit. I wouldn't sign shit. But here's my thing.
Would you have gone?
Yeah, if that's my father. That's my father.
Dude, if my dad murders people, I'm not fucked.
This is where you, you know.
He's fucked.
Take your personal feelings out of it, okay? Take your personal feelings out of what he was accused of, what he was put on trial for, his team of lawyers. He, you know, probably went bankrupt, lost a lot of money having Johnny Cochran and his whole
lineup.
Yeah, all them defending him. He was put through the justice system at that time, what we had. You know what I'm saying? The defendant, his team, just like when they pick the jury trial, what they do before they just don't pick 12 motherfuckers and sit right there. The defense and the prosecutor has to go through and select their jury.
No, I get it he won.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's damn if you do, damn if you don't. The justice system did right if they would have put the needle in his arm. Everybody, you're not going to satisfy everybody. There's going to be people out there talking about that.
They won because they didn't cross their T's and dot their I's, but it still doesn't mean that you didn't do it.
Where the real problem with that OJ, it divided America. It was all about race. It was all about race. If you go back and look at the footage and you see when people, they even had them on the Oprah Winfrey show. Oprah Winfrey had a live show and they was watching the damn his verdict being read, and they was panning on white people, panning on black people all hugged up like this and shit with their fingers crossed hoping that he get off. The white people were sitting there looking like this, like they better find this motherfucker guilty,
because he fucking did it, and we all knew he did it.
When they said not guilty, black people, man, you would think that that Martin Luther King came back alive. You know what I'm saying?
But here's the thing, though. there was enough evidence, and it's way more than reasonable. When his blood was found on the crime scene, they weren't allowed to use that because he has great lawyers. His fingerprints on the knife, because one police officer put the knife in the bag and didn't initial the bag, all of a sudden they're going to throw that evidence out. But if that evidence was still to remain, it would 100% prove that he did it. So he still did it. But here's the thing. If the black people were holding hands and crossing their fingers on hoping that he was guilty, they're only hoping that he's not guilty because of race.
He would have set us back 400 years.
Because it's a race. But I mean, murder's a murder. Black people murder people, and white people murder people all the time.
Just a murder. This was a high-profile black guy who was looked at as a hero because he was of his football status and all this and that back in the 60s, especially in the 60s. So right. Just like same thing with Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby was a phenomenal celebrity, black celebrity, male celebrity back in the 60s. And when all that shit came out about him, it tarnished everything good stuff he did. His comedy, his jokes, his shows, everything got tarnished. Because of that shit that happened that he was accused of doing way back in the 60s. Same thing with OJ. See that right there? It divided that OJ Simpson.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't know who the fuck OJ was as a football player. The things he did. They just remember him from the damn airport commercials. They remember his ass from Airplane, Leslie, what's his name? Liam Nelson.
Liam Nelson.
Liam Nelson, Airplane and Naked Gun movies. That's all they remember. And he was a sports announcer, he was a commentator. They remember him from that. But when he did that, you know, was accused of the murder and all that shit, you know, and then went to trial. Yeah, black people was like, oh, hell no. Because he's being accused of not only murder, but
I mean, I don't see any murder. White people. Like, I don't.
Two white people.
See, I don't. When, like, if a black person kills two black, I'm speaking on behalf of the whites here, the white folk. I don't know anymore. I mean, maybe back then, but even when I was watching that back when it was going on, I didn't care. Like, it's not like I'm going to hate black people because one black dude murdered two white people. But like, that doesn't bother me. Murder is a murder. Like, right. Bad people are bad people. It doesn't matter what color they are.
I understand that. But you got to look at
his popularity. He is a bad person.
He was a popular person.
So is P. Diddy. So is Harvey Weinstein. So is Jeffrey Epstein. Yeah, so is Joe Biden. So is Donald Trump.
Here's the thing. With P. Diddy, how many white people are coming out talking shit about him?
No idea.
Exactly. You don't have an idea. But I bet you can guess how many black people are upset and mad about the shit he's doing.
I would have no idea.
There's a lot. And as a matter of fact, when you go on Twitter, you have people defending, not really defending P. Diddy, but they're saying, see, that's fucked up. We don't look after our own.
Well, I mean,
I'm like this, fuck him. If he did it, throw the hammer at his ass.
My only problem with P. Diddy is, I mean, like, not my only problem, but my whole thing with the whole P. Diddy thing is that there was a lot of people that knew he was a fucking loser and they never called him out for it.
I mean, dude, it's like R. Kelly. You can't tell me R. Kelly was telling his hired hands, hey, go get that, go out there in the crowd and get me a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
Go out there, get me a young hottie. They already know he liked girls under 18 and they asked
for more and they did it.
Them girls back.
Right. They're just as dirty.
Yeah.
I mean,
I
like,
know the parents was bad too for allowing them to go with him. You know, some of them was like, oh, he said she was gonna be a backup dancer for him, or like,
I mean, that's my problem with it, is like, if you knew, then you're just as guilty. But let me go back to this. I want to go back to this chat. I mean, maybe you don't think that if you're OJ Simpson's child, would you go to see your dad on his deathbed, or if you're a family member and he wanted you to sign an NDA before you came in? I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't sign it, but I mean, I'll go and see him, you know, because that is your father. That's your bloodline. Now, it's been almost 30 years, over 30 years, you know, the case. And he had multiple children by different women. So I don't know. Did he have kids by Anna Nicole?
Simpson have kids with Anna Nicole? Oh, I guarantee you those kids wouldn't go see him.
Well, then again, I don't know.
I wouldn't go see him.
I don't know. I know he had conflict with
a couple of his kids, and I think that might have been that might have been it. Because you got to think about it.
Two kids.
He had two
kids. Oh shit!
And I'm pretty sure her side, Nicole Brown's side of the family, was in the child's ear, you know, or even if it wasn't in his ear, they was, you know, like some families, they talk out loud, and that little kid sitting there, and they talking about my daddy, you know. My mama's side of the family really believe my daddy killed my mama. So yeah, I could see if it's a kid. The other kids, by the other, hell, they probably, hey, my mama alive and well, she ain't get killed, but I feel bad for you, but my daddy was found not guilty.
Yeah.
The court of law.
Oh, well, I know, the court of law thing doesn't matter to me. Like, you know when somebody did something, well, you know,
I
mean, they didn't.
It's just like with the lawyers. Be honest, man. I was watching, what's the name?
Like, I mean, just because you can confuse and retard a jury doesn't still mean that you're innocent of what you did.
If you're a lawyer, you're a defense lawyer.
Yeah.
Your job is to get your client off.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it.
I done talked to many of lawyer friends, and they sat there and said, yeah, that motherfucker guilty.
Oh, yeah.
I represented. They ain't give names and stuff because you know that client.
Oh, I talk to people like that all the time.
I know his ass was guilty, but my job is to defend him the best way I know how. If I can get him off completely, that I done my job. If I can get him, you know,
see, there's no way I can do that job
right, and I can get him the least amount of time or punishment, I've done my job.
Yeah.
And you do wonder about that. You'd be like, man, if I decided to go to law school and become a lawyer, what I want to be a defender, you know, open my own practice and just get all these people to come and they sit down and tell me the story. And I'm like, and you know how someone tell you, yeah, I did it, but now but I'm going to pay you to get me off. This is what I would accept. And now it's your job to do that. When you rich like OJ Simpson, like he was, you can afford the Johnny Cochran's, the top of the line, and his whole team. Johnny Cochran was great, and then his whole line, all them guys. And when Johnny gave that closing arguments, everybody, not guilty, not guilty.
Now, Deadleg in the chat says, I'll sign it. You think the dead man can enforce it? I don't know. Like, can a dead man enforce an NDA
I think his estate. Because I read somewhere where his estate, the lawyer that's in charge of his estate or that's doing it, he said he gonna try everything in his power to keep those families from getting collecting that $33 million.
Which families?
The Goldmans.
That's fucked up, yeah, dude.
It's been 30 years and he still owed them $33 million. Man, the only money they collect off his
ass. What's that, Doug?
From the civil suit. And then OJ's kids, all of his kids, it looked like they've grown up and had like regular lives. They've gone on just quietly gone into everything, but they've had okay lives. They've turned out okay.
Did they go and see him?
I don't see anything in this.
They said family. Did it specifically say kids?
I read somewhere they said the kids.
I don't know if I can do it.
Kids was
sad. If you killed my, if my dad killed my mom, there's no way I'd go fucking see him. No fucking way.
Well, it depends on what they believe, though. The court found, I really believed if everything would have went like you said,
he would have been guilty
and found guilty and went to prison, then yes, I believe they would have cut him off. But by the court ruling, they saying, hey, you're guilty, you're innocent until proven guilty. He was proven, I mean, you know, the court hearings and all that stuff, they ruled he was not guilty of murder.
Read that to us right there. This is coming from Yahoo News, it looks like. Read that to us.
It may come as a surprise that some to find out O.J. Simpson's kids were both by his bedside in the hours before his death. The former NFL star had his ex-wife welcome their daughter Sydney and son Justin years before he was accused of murdering her and later found liable for her death.
Oh, okay. All right. Amber HHH in the chat says,
oh, go ahead. I was going to say maybe they might have came to see if he was going to do a confession, a deathbed confession or something. I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, I don't know. You know, it's just like if somebody kills somebody and they found guilty and they go and they give them life in prison, not life in prison, but they get the needle.
Yeah.
When they die. When they are executed, are you satisfied? If you had a family member who died at the hands of somebody and they gave him
the death penalty, but he's still living after 20 years. 20 years, you know, to me, I think something need to be done with all these appeals, because how in the hell it take you 20 years? You done killed my mama or somebody.
I mean, you killed, it depends on who you kill, but like there's somebody in jail that I will be able to get to and offer some sort of money,
you know,
to make that motherfucker
have you,
disappear.
Have you seen the movie Law Abiding Citizen?
Yeah.
Oh God, yeah. I love that movie.
Yeah, that's a good. I'm gonna watch that one tonight.
Yeah, oh gosh, that's a great movie. But that dude, I sort of feel like him. The justice system failed him because he went up there and said the right things, and that judge got him off because it's not her getting him off. It was in the book.
Right. Yeah, I get it. Like, I get the way the books
and
work.
He told him, he was like, "No, you know, anybody can get off and da da da. I just did this and did that." And yeah. You know, he was trying to prove a point, but he done lost it, man.
I mean, that's how I feel. I mean, but like if you look at New York right now, vigilantism is going through the roof right now. People are stepping up and whooping some ass. Like they're tired of it because the justice system's not doing anything. They're just cutting people loose. And crime is just going through the roof, and people are starting to take matters in their own hands now.
It goes back to me is when you watch movies, you have copycats. Look at movies like The Purge. Got people out there really believe we should be purging in the United States. Like, yeah, let them give me 12 hours. I'll go kill a whole bunch of motherfuckers. You know, that's crazy. But when I saw, like I said, I only saw half of Civil War. I'm going to go back and watch it. But it was crazy because the white dude was in there, and it was a white dude, white girl, two Asian dudes. And the guy sat there with the gun. He said, "What type of American are you?" What type of American?
Don't spoil it for me, though.
And old boy, he said, "I'm from Florida." So, okay. So he looked at her, and she was like, "I'm from St. Louis," somewhere like that. And the other dude, boom, after he shot him, the Asian dude was hiding behind the other his friend and was crying. He said, "Hold up, what you hiding for? Where you from?" He said, "Hong Kong." Boom, blew his ass away. And I was like, wow.
Dang, you spoil the whole movie for us?
No, that was just that little.
I'm just kidding. I saw that in the trailer, too.
It's a whole lot, but.
So are you gonna go back and re-see it? Only saw an hour?
I caught the last hour.
Damn, that to watch it. Sucks.
Everybody I talked to that seen it was like, "Man, you know, I'm reading. They talking about that shit gonna happen if Trump take off.
It's gonna happen right now. It's like the country's way more divided right now than it's ever been. Yeah. And I mean, we're so close to civil war. Not civil war. I'm talking about World War III.
OJ was good friends with Donald Trump.
Probably.
It's a Caitlyn Jenner talk shit about him. She did couldn't stand that going.
So now, so Caitlyn Jenner is on side then. She's on the OJ's guilty.
She hate OJ. She's like, "I hope he burns in hell."
I mean, I do too. I fucking hate him. he's on my top five list. We were talking about our top five on Wednesday. He's on my top five. Tactical Dude brings up a great point. Says free Daniel Penny. 100%. I think Daniel Penny should be freed. We did a whole Daniel Penny breakdown. One of my favorite breakdowns. Go back and listen to it. Look, dude, $100 from Mario Lopez tonight. Brother, thank you guys. We do this show all for first responders, for veterans, keeping you guys informed and entertained 5 days a week in your cop car. If you want to see this show continue, keep going. Hit that like and subscribe button on YouTube. But more importantly, go and give us a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It is so important. Please tell a friend, phone a friend, come to Orlando to the meetup. Come and see us. Introduce yourself. We'd love to meet up with you guys. From myself, J. Darrell White, comedian who has tons of comedy stuff. So make sure you go and follow him and hit him up. Guns up, giddy up. Right.